Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Guys, I didn't need a second entrance, but thank you for taking up the time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the one, the only B-Train. Who the fuck else? I gotta say, Monday Night Raw wasn't as bad as people are projecting it to be. From what I understand, I got texts and messages and messages on Facebook that isn't text from friends saying, don't watch it, it's completely terrible. You'll completely hate it. I don't know that until I've actually seen the show, so that's what was going through my mind. I watched it on Hulu, the replay, it's an hour and a half, I believe hour 34 minutes, technically, if you want to get technical about watching the show. But anyways, enough of the babbling. Monday Night Raw was featuring a lot of stuff, including a last chance Money in the Bank ladder match or qualifying match. You know, for the entrant who wins this match would end up going to beat one of the participants. And of course, you can't have a ladder match without Sasha Banks. It was in there with a lot of people's. Bayley versus Liv Morgan versus Sarah Logan versus Ruby Riott versus Tana Brooke versus Mickie James versus Sasha Banks. A lot of experience in that ring and a lot of great spots in that match here and there. And what am I talking about referring to? So this was a gauntlet match, and whoever was the last woman standing was going to qualify to be involved in the ladder match, the women's ladder match, to get the briefcase in Chicago. And the Riott Squad, of course, is involved because you can't have, you know, match without them. So it says Bayley beat Morgan in mere seconds, pin Logan moments later. So then it was, and I wish it was down to Bayley and Sasha, but, you know, that's just my particulars. So Mickie James was doing really good against Riott Squad. Banks took advantage, though. So I guess it came down to Sasha and Ruby Riott. Now, why did I skip to the main event instead of focusing, you know, on building a crescendo of a review? It's simply because Raw had some good elements to it for a change. Chad Gable versus McIntyre, very technical match. McIntyre basically used power offense during the entire match, you know, to give Gable the the empathy for the crowd. The crowd felt really, you know, oh my God, you know, he's got to win. That's the goal. McIntyre beat Gable pinfall by pinfall. Sami Zayn's apology. I got to tell you this, guys, right now. Sami Zayn basically apologized to the crowd at first, and then it transcended into, I'm going to apologize what I do to you at Money in the Bank. Does Zayn really have a chance? I don't know. I'm just going to wait and see. Aha. Kevin Owens versus Bobby Roode, a match that is going to intrigue me to watch over and over again, because when I watched on Hulu, had some very good elements to it, guys, if you are looking for good wrestling. So Kevin Owens was informed by the general manager, you know, Kurt Angle, you've got a match tonight. You've got a match against Bobby Roode. Although Strowman did interfere in this match, it's kind of funny. Ascension, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus the Ascension and the B-Team barbecue. That's kind of, I got to say, you know, despite Axel and Dallas, whatever their role is in WWE, they're doing a really good job with it. So good job, fellas, Bray and Matt. Rousey and Nia told the crowd to shut up. Good moment, I guess. I'm just giving a brief synopsis on Monday Night Raw. Just a brief one, folks. Oh, Rollins and Jinder Mahal for the IC title. The entire focus of that match, Jinder Mahal was focusing on Rollins' ribs. What overall did I see about the match that I liked, disliked, and felt indifferent about? Well, as I cough out my lungs, wow, okay, Mahal beat Rollins via disqualification. I wonder what this is going to lead up to. I don't know. Finn Balor defeated Braun Strowman via disqualification. So Owens came out and interfered. Okay, that's what led up in, you know, to Braun Strowman interfering in the Bobby Roode match. I don't know. I got to give props to Monday Night Raw for the first time in a while, but guys, when you have a gauntlet match, it's kind of hard for fans to follow, but you know what? Who cares? It got the point across. Sasha's the victor, and that's pretty much all I care for, because to be honest with you, Money in the Bank has got to form somehow, like a nucleus, like a cloud, in order for it to sprinkle the fans with its metaphorical rain of understanding of what direction we're going as, you know, what can you expect at the pay-per-view. They're doing a pretty fairly decent job, WWE is. Now, some of you will ask, well, aren't you pro SmackDown when it comes to watching shows? Yeah, I prefer SmackDown Live, but I also have to report to you Monday Night Raw. So it sounds like an assignment, you know, at school that you don't want, but you kind of have to anyways. So what I'm giving to you guys is a synopsis of what I think of it. May not matter according to you guys, but here's the thing. When in doubt, watch wrestling. When you're in severe doubt, pay attention. Because you might miss some important elements. Monday Night Raw has gotten a lot of scrutiny because of the way things have been structured before Money in the Bank ladder match in Chicago. And by scrutiny, I mean some of the shows are hit and miss. Sometimes it's hard for the fans to get on board with some concepts and some ideas. But at the same time, guys, if you were in their position, as in if you were in their position, meaning planning the booking and all that stuff, it's not our job. It really isn't. So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is Monday Night Raw wasn't bad. It just begs the question, though, like, what can we expect for Money in the Bank? What can we as fans look forward to? You know, Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Now you have Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, and a majority of other guys involved in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match four. Okay, Rusev qualifies, and now Lana's also a part of the Money in the Bank ladder match. The question is, what will happen if said fans get involved, or not said fans, said Aiden English? Let's worry about that when we see the show, guys. I mean, in all honesty, I got a question from a fan that asked, what do I think Kevin Owens' role will be? I don't know. I'm not the booker. I'm not Kevin Owens' liaison. I'm just a fan, right? A former manager who saw the other side of the spectrum and just wanting to see what will transpire. And also Kurt Gannon's good friend and not confidant, but buddy that travels on the road and, you know, just sees things for what it is until something really traumatic happens. This is what I can tell you. Kevin Owens is a great wrestler. He knows how to work within the system. Because like the old saying goes, you can be the most unique gimmick of all time, but you've got to learn to fall in line. And by fall in line, I mean, you don't want to stand out. You don't want to stand out too much. And what I mean by that is you don't want to, oh yeah, I know this and I know that. I know what the boss wants. I know what he wants me to do. That's fine to an extent to have confidence, but too much of it and too, you know, if you exude or show too much of it, then it's going to backfire on you real fucking quick. Back to the subject at hand. You know, hold on to your, you know, hold on to your britches. We're going to see this thing we call wrestling. Hold on, because we all watch wrestling. We, as in fans or elitist or whatever you want to call yourself. Elitist as in, I'm a Ring of Honor fan, so I must know everything because I use terminologies, blah, 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 blah. Or I'm a CZW fan. I like seeing death matches because those matches are the bomb diggity. Or I like Evolve Wrestling because they never disappoint. Or I like the Revolver shows because they give the fans exactly what we've been wanting. So when I say please be patient, that includes me, because sometimes I'll watch a show and I won't necessarily agree with the way things were done. But then I take a step back and say, okay, well, maybe it'll be a good show next week. It's the optimistic point of view. If someone says, well, you just criticized Raw last week and I heard you talking a mad amount of shit, I'm not going to hide behind walls, folks. I do criticize because I care about the freaking show. I'm not a part of, but I do care about it because I've watched this show for a very long time. And I am referring to Monday Night Raw. Is it my business to care about the booking? No. Is it my business to, you know, say this should have been, this match should have been booked this way? We would have really wanted to see this. I can say those things, but really, really hold any precedent over my position as a broadcast journalist or over as somebody who's known to the world as a nobody. You know, the funny thing is, people will watch and criticize all they want. And I'm referring to wrestling. Why does this person blah, blah, blah? If you're, there's different angles of criticism, but if I'm going to psychoanalyze and break down all of them, which I will, here it is. You've got the fan who will watch a show and find any which way to criticize it because that's just what they do. Then you have the fan who enjoys and says, I didn't see anything wrong with it because they're a super fan of somebody. There's nothing wrong with being a super fan. But, there's an underlining but. If you're told by wrestlers or bookers or anybody, you know, you're supposed to feel a certain way, again, I'm just going to say this nicely. I think it's cool that people can relate on a certain levels of wrestling. It's like Shane Hurricane Helms basically said at Danny Cage's Super Camp. If you bookers decide to make the fans mad, they're going to turn the channel now because they're not as, you know, patient or wanting to see what will happen next, because you have to gauge the audience. That's a very hard job for the bookers. Monday Night Raw show overall, having Sasha Banks win the qualifying match. Some of you all get upset because, oh, she was mean to me at a signing. That's a whole different related note. That's not a wrestling note. Okay, yes, she stiffed, you know, me and my cousin for an autograph, but does that negate her wrestling skills inside the ring? No. So, yeah, I was pretty upset, but, you know, what can I do? That's just one incident. I'm not going to let that, you know, be a bias whenever she goes in the ring. Oh, yeah, I really don't like Sasha, blah, 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 because she didn't sign my cousin's autograph. No. Also, the fact that they're giving Sami Zayn the role in which he's basically the guy that can joke around about Bobby Lashley's sisters and give some life to the feud that those two are going to have at Money in the Bank. I really, at this point, guys, whatever Monday Night Raw or SmackDown Live decides to do, just flow with it. There may be a lot of things that we disagree with as fans, but what good is it going to do us if we sit there and completely bitch out somebody because they have a different viewpoint, or bitch out somebody because they like a certain superstar? I have friends that like Roman Reigns. I have friends who like John Cena. I have friends that like Sasha Banks, and I have friends that like a variety of people, and they all say the same thing. There's a lot of people that hate on them because, and they don't understand why. And it's, you know, I try and explain to people, it's like people have the ideology that they're an expert in likes and dislikes, but they're not an expert on taking a step back and actually formulating a plan, or not formulating an opinion with facts. That's the problem you run into as a critic, as a wrestling fan. You never quite understand the logic behind people's madness as to why they like this person on Raw and this person on SmackDown Live, or that person on Ring of Honor and this person on, well, let's just say it. If you watch wrestling just to criticize, what are you here for? If you're an atone critic and somebody that's had a name in this business, then I guess you have every rich right to criticize. But then some people say, and I've heard this, Jim Cornette's very old school. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Some instances he has points that he makes on his podcast, and he's very old school. He's stuck in his ways, but he's got some valid points to help you make it through the business. Long time ago in 1996, Jim Cornette was in transition of leaving WWE, and he made a promo backstage that WWE, I guess, doesn't care at this point because, you know, Jim, I believe, was someone who opened up for Hall of Fame speech. He's also on an episode of Table for Three. Point I'm trying to get at, folks, he said something like, years from now, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Mankind are the staple fronts of what WWE will be or will become. And I'm not going to quote him per verbatim, I'm getting questions, folks. That's the reason for the pauses. So my apologies. I just feel like on a personal level, when I watched Monday Night Raw's replay on Hulu, of course it cuts off some matches. However, now that I have a different insight, like a little bit, not too big, but insight meaning I read the matches, I read the analysis, I also watch it. So I read the analysis on BleacherReport.com. I watched it. Watching it's different than reading the results because you get a different result every time you watch it all the way through. So in other words, I thought, you know, after reviewing Monday Night Raw in my head and reviewing it to you guys now, there's a certain sense of, okay, maybe it's hit and miss as far as, you know, interest-wise. And that depends on the person. Some people can be like, well, I didn't see a problem with it. It's wrestling. Then other people, and I mean other fans, can be like, well, I didn't like this match, but I did like the technical side of it. I did like this match, but, you know, just was not my type, my cup of tea. That's allowed, isn't it? Some people may not like the way I speak because I speak in tongues or speak in circles. Well, here's the deal, folks. I don't care. All I care about, well, I don't care about what you, you know, think of me because I'm going to keep reporting professional wrestling to the entire wrestling universe, not just WWE, the entire wrestling universe. Chicago's All In is sold out. The meet and greet August 31st has been confirmed with CM Punk. Can you imagine how many people are going to line up just to see him? And not just that. An event that was sold out in 30 minutes has been definitely documented in my mind. You know, is Money in the Bank going to sell tickets? Yeah, because it's nearing June. But let me get back to the subject. Hold on 1 second, folks. Well, just got handed a note that said I have 46 Facebook messages. Holy crap. Well, no, I know that. I'm quite well aware of it. Yes. One other thing that I'd like to discuss with you all is this. If you have any questions, you can definitely straight message me on, where else? Facebook.com, WrestleRadio/Facebook.com, or Wrestle_Radio.com. You ask what bothers me? It's not so much going to a show and then being disappointed afterwards, no. What bothers me is people that say, well, I'm not going to watch this anymore because it's just the same redundant concept every single week. And it's easy to think like that, folks, but it's also easier to think from an optimistic point of view because, okay, if you watched last night's show, you really get a concept of how each show can change from week to week. And guess what? I got 19 minutes left to vent out exactly how I feel. So, here goes. Enter my mind, if you dare. Off the Rails, Uncensored, Wrestle Radio Edition, Tuesday.
The cost of personality.
Those who have not really been with us for very long at Wrestle Radio, 9 years ago, on May 25th, we started. It's evolved since then and gotten better since then. Point is, I'm going to continue my little chat. And that is, whenever you go watch a show like Monday Night Raw last night, whether you were live or watched it on Hulu or watched it, however you watch it, streaming it from YouTube or Dailymotion, here's my thoughts. You can't really say anything until you've watched. Just like voting. Can't really say shit unless you went to the voting booth and actually voted. Two, for the people who believe that their opinion is valued above anyone else's without factual facts, I'm going to say this nicely. Who are you? What are you? And have you done anything business-wise? And buying tickets, and sitting your ass in a seat does not count. I'm actually talking about managing, wrestling, refereeing, and actually getting an insight of what the business is actually somewhat about. Because you can't say, I know this business just as good as anybody, like the dumb fuck who said it in St. Louis when I was attending Money in the Bank, my very first pay-per-view at Scott Trade Center. Monday Night Raw's 1,000th episode. But the point is, ladies and gents, hold on tight. Watch this thing we call wrestling. Because wrestling, to me, is the only... Well, how do I put this? It's the only thing in my life right now, aside from a few others, being insane. So, what I'm trying to say is, yes, I'm critical. Yes, I jump to conclusions sometimes. But when people, fellow fans sit there and look for the negative instead of pointing out the positive of each show, I'm sitting there saying to myself, maybe I'm just Mr. Optimistic. Maybe I'm just the guy that sees, wrestling for what it is. And that is, if I don't like it, I will tell you over this show, but I will never ever sit there and be the asshole during, if I ever got the opportunity to go backstage or meet these people in person at a meet and greet, to say, I didn't like this match because I think you're horrible, or you should have done this move instead of that move. It would have made the match more interesting. That just kind of defeats the purpose of being, quote-unquote, a fan. Because there's a lot of interpretations what a wrestler can be and what a fan can be. If you psychoanalyze it and use it in layman terms, it means some people tell you this, let the fans be fans and let the wrestlers be wrestlers and don't worry about it if you're on either side, vice versa. Some people are wrapped up in their own little worlds, man, when it comes to watching not just Monday Night Raw, but shows wrestlers are wrapped up in their own world sometimes. Fans are wrapped up in their world most of the time. And they really, sometimes both parties forget, this is how I get to entertain fans. I know what they want. I know how to gauge the crowd. Okay. Engage the crowd by meaning you satisfying your fancy by giving the crowd, let's say, a Hurricane Rana, during the heat or during the shine or whatever, and basically giving us a bunch of falsies because it'll get the fans up and out of their fucking seats. Now, some guys know how to do this, and I can give you an example. Jake Parnell, Warhorse, really good dude. I watched his match against Brandon Aarons. Match went all over the merch table. Not just that spot, but, the kickouts after certain maneuvers, not like just Canadian destroyers, your stereotypical indie move, but they had peaks and valleys in their matches that made it interesting. And how does this carry on into hold tight, watch a wrestling show? Because you don't know what's going to be in front of you. You also don't know, as a fan, what you're getting yourself into by going to anything from WrestleMania to a local independent show in Iowa. From a local independent show in Iowa to a carnival fair out in Kansas. In other words, watch it, and if you don't like it, say, don't control the other person's emotions or feelings. Just ask them, okay, what did you not like? And if they respond with simple, you know, I didn't like the heel spot here, I didn't like that spot there, there was a botch that. Sometimes you just tune people out. Like I know some of you tune me out. But here's the thing, folks. I have valid points. Whenever you go to a wrestling show, it should not be, let's hope for the negative so I can say something. You're just automatically hoping to feel bad for, you know, for yourself. You're not feeling bad for the workers. You don't care. Okay, we're very selfish, spoiled brats. Fans are. We expect a show that's to our liking, to a T, in our own little booker minds about, oh, you know, the crowd should, you know, we should get up for this only, and we should cheer for this guy only because he's entertaining, his entertainment value is there. With fans now, that's kind of a defeating purpose. It's very hard to pinpoint what everyone likes. However, there is a good chance, and I mean great chance, as a wrestling fan, that you can actually sit down at a show and say, well, at least I like this match. This match wasn't bad. That's a good thing. Because then if you sit there and say the entire show sucked, okay, reflect back and say, the show could have been better. Or, I really enjoyed the women's match, but I didn't like this angle. Or I didn't like, not angle, but I didn't like the way they did this or the way they did that. It's not going to hurt their feelings because they hear that a zillion times a week on Twitter, a zillion times on Instagram, you know, pictures and different shit. Does it mean that they're trying to look for a job in WWE? No. It just means that the fans are trying to find some way to relate, some way that they can get some satisfaction and not feel like, holy crap, I really don't know what to do or say. Because some of you really probably hated Monday Night Raw. It's better than what it was. It's better than what it has been. Meaning, the matches may go up and down in scale. Meaning, it has its peaks and, or the matches quality and stuff. They're going to have peaks and valleys. But as long as they tell me a story, cool. I can get on board with that. That's all, you know, all I'm saying as a fan. Like, if they tell, if the wrestlers involved in the match, for example, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, tells me a story on, you know, what they're trying to convey, like who's the villain, who's the good guy. That's all you need to know, in my opinion. And also, where and what's going to happen in the match, I don't care. As long as they know, okay, let's do this match, simple shine, simple heat, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what's the setup and the finish? I'm not supposed to know all these terminologies, but from my experience as a former manager, I can tell you I don't know everything and I don't intend to. And the quality of the show, that's up to you. That's up to your interpretation. I just feel, guys, that if you're going to tear apart a show, I don't think it's wise because that's just going to make the situation worse. Like I said, you're not the one behind the curtain. You're not the one involved in booking. You're not entirely a part of creative. So if you do claim that you have a stake and you might as well own the show because you paid for a ticket, you are sadly mistaken. I also feel that when you go to a show, people automatically assume that they are in the role of Vince McMahon or Triple H or Stephanie or Jamie Noble or Brian Armstrong or name dropping. But you know what? If you guys feel the need that you can do a better job, get a college education and just try your hand at creative, because it's a lot harder than you think. Just hold tight, watch it. Let it ride. It's like a roller coaster. That's why the best way to describe being a wrestling fan is it's like being on a roller coaster. That roller coaster goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And that depends on the fan. Some fans say, well, man, this is being the longest, bestest ride I've ever ridden in my life. I don't quite know how to respond to that. Base Mountain is quite easily the longest, lasting, most luxurious ride, according to Ric Flair. But we're not talking about Space Mountain, my friend. Kind of funny. What I'm referring to is, if you just watch it, that's it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just watch the matches. And then if you don't like it, tell your friends. Blurt it out on a podcast. It don't matter. Because who's going to listen to you? Who's going to be the one that actually pays attention to what your podcast is saying? If you're negative, most of the time people will be like, yeah, we heard this. We hear this all the time in our line of work. It makes no sense to be cynical all the fucking time. And the reason I say this, folks, is because I didn't get to your messages until later because Wi-Fi was turned off. However, you know, when I turned it on, I saw some of the comments you guys left on my Instagram, and I gotta say, boy, you guys are more cynical than me at times. I say don't be cynical, meaning don't, and I repeat, if you're trying to get a job with WWE, then by all means, have the ballsack to have your convictions. But don't be stupid to wear your balls on your forehead and flop them around like a, you know, fucking moron. In other words, if you have any concerns, comments, questions about the show, email WWE Corporate and see what they say. They're probably not going to respond to you, and they're probably going to send an automated response that it's not their responsibility to give you a satisfying show every single week. Even if you figure out the emailing system that's on fucking Twitter or, you know, the messaging system on Facebook. Just understand this. If you can't relate to a certain group or organization and they treat you like crap, here's a definite thought. Hold tight. It's a wrestling show. It'll change it. I just, you know, for the life of me, I never understand why certain people will just congregate, and when it comes to a different opinion, uh-oh, feels like somebody just shot them in the chest. I've got different fan bases from the UK, Latvia, Australia, Canada, Japan, and you know why? It's because I give all of you the real. The real opinion based on facts. I read from the most undesirable, you know, wrestling news source, Wiki Wrestling. And I just want to say, all the messages that I be getting right now, okay, talking about, well, if you're such a saint, then why don't you talk about what's perfect, it's so perfect about the business. I go, this, to respond to that question, Michael, from Detroit, Michigan, I'm going to respond like this. If you don't like what the show is giving you, then my response is the business is not perfect. It all depends on how you serve it. If you're serving your manager well, you show up to work on time for whatever job you have, it doesn't matter if it's security, Sam's Club, Target, Walmart, McDonald's, whatever. Then to end this right quickly, I'm just going to say, be a servant first. Ask questions later, because as well as you serve the business you work for, whatever it may be, doing the drive, sacrificing, traveling, being a good person, just being humble, you're going to go far. Just ask Uncle Bob, Brutal Bob Evans. If you have any questions, you can follow him and ask him as many questions as you want. But I am Brian Rails from Off the Rails, Uncensored Tuesday edition. Tomorrow's going to be an hour long. Toodles, bitches. I got to go get ready for work, and I got to eat something. Bye. Have a nice day, whatever. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Toodles, bitches.
The person.